Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John did baptize in the wilderness, that's John the Baptist, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. But he said in verse 7, he preached saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Please speak to us today as we study the Word of God, as I often, many, many times pray, "Sir, we would see Jesus." As Paul prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, please help us to see the Lord. And Lord, I pray for every one of my listeners, that you'd help them. If they struggle with something, please help them. Tell them what to do. Comfort them, whatever it takes. Please help my listeners, Lord. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the credit. And in his wonderful and matchless name, Lord, we thank you. Amen. I read a lot of scripture when I preach. Really, I don't know if these are sermons or lessons. There's a man an hour up the river in Baton Rouge. In his younger days, he was an excellent preacher. He would take one verse, just read one verse, and then preach for an hour. Now, he would probably tell the whole story of the chapter he was in or what have you, but he would read one verse. I'm the opposite. I read too many verses. My notes, sometimes two or three pages, and I have to throw things away. But I don't apologize for taking the time to read the Word of God and to give references for the points I make from Scripture. I don't apologize for it. There's life in the Word of God. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life," Jesus said. The water of life. That's what we want. We want the water of life to touch someone's soul. But going on, in our text in verse 9, again, Mark chapter 1. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came down from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And it says, straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. It wasn't a dove, but it looked like a dove flying down, but it was the Holy Ghost from heaven. And I preached on this before. This is Jacob's ladder, if you want to go and take that reference in the Old Testament. But it says, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then in verse 12, it says something very strange. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. He was baptized. The Spirit of God came from heaven. It looked like a dove rested upon him. And then the Spirit of God drove Jesus Christ into the wilderness, the desert. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now, if you're counting, this is the seventh part of the series, Missing the Holy Spirit. And what I've tried to do, and again, I'm not teaching anything new. I'm not teaching anything new. Maybe you haven't heard it. But what I'm teaching is what they taught 100 years ago and 200 years ago and etc. Hundreds of years ago, they taught these things. They taught these things in the early church. Not telling you anything new. But often we miss what the Word of God is trying to tell us. And again, this is a strange thing that when he was filled with the Spirit, when Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost right after he was baptized in the River Jordan, it says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, and the temptation came at the end. But the Spirit of God said, look, Jesus, go into the wilderness. Go into the desert. And everybody knows what this desert was. Everybody knows somebody that was in Desert Storm or Afghanistan or what have you. Everybody knows what this desert is like. All you got to do is find the guy that you know and say, tell me about it. And he'll tell you about it. And when we send soldiers, we have a water regimen. They carry pounds of water with them. They try to get in the shade. They do this and do that. Jesus was there alone. And it says the angels ministered to him at the end, anyway. But he suffered. This is God come in the flesh. This is God come from heaven. And there's a whole sermon here. That the Spirit of God said, you need to go into the desert and not eat for 40 days. That's the Son of God. What about us? Preacher or deacon, Sunday school teacher, soul winner, what have you. You work in a nursing home on Saturday night or whatever the case. If you want to be used of God, you need to hear this sermon. You need to hear this sermon. Now, to pick up the narrative, but we're going to switch books from Mark. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. It says in verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. I can't go 40 minutes without having something. He went 40 days. Think about that. And it says when it was over, he was hungry, what have you. But in verse 13, then the devil had ended all the temptation, and he departed Jesus for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And it says, and they went on a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Now we understand that Jesus was 30 years old. We get a little bit when he was first born. Elizabeth and Simeon, they came and prophesied. Then we get a little bit more when he was bar mitzvahed. You understand that Jesus was a Jew. At 12 years old, he was bar mitzvahed, and he taught in the temple. He tried to fulfill his ministry then. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business, he said. But then he was subjected to his mother and his adopted father. But at 30 years old, he started his ministry. And this is the start of that ministry. Just as we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But when he began his ministry, first he was baptized. And that's a sermon right there. There's a question to think about. Why did Jesus, God, come in the flesh, have to be baptized? Well, here's another question. Why did he have to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And here's another question. Why immediately, before he preached his first sermon, why did God, the Holy Ghost, tell God the Son to go into the desert and not eat food for 40 days? Those are good questions. And no one is going to be called to go into the desert for 40 days and fast. That's not what God's going to do today. But God will do similar. He will want you to be baptized and repent of your sins. He will want you to be full of the Holy Ghost. And he will want you to suffer. I'm going to say that again. It's God's will that you suffer. Now, I've got a whole sermon, but the end here is that your flesh must be destroyed. Your reliance upon the flesh, the way that we as human beings do things, the way that we think it ought to be, etc., the way they taught us in cemetery or whatever, God wants to destroy it. To the end result that we would depend upon Jesus and the Holy Ghost rather than our understanding, our power, our methods, etc. God's ways are higher than ours, and he wants us to forsake our ways and follow after him. But it says, again in Luke chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, that when the devil had ended all his temptation and left, that Jesus came out of the desert, returned into Galilee, where he hung out. But he returned in the power of the Spirit, not in the power of his seminary degree, not in the name of his denomination, but he returned in the power of the Spirit. And whatever you think of it, doesn't matter. God's ways are different from our ways. And we need to learn of him, to sit at his feet and learn of him. And it says that a fame went out about Christ in all the region round about. Again, before he was baptized, nobody hardly knew his name. But when he suffered, and allowed God to help him to forsake flesh, to forsake self. Not only was Jesus 100% God, but he was 100% man. And we need to follow his example and forsake self. Again, he was a nobody. Nobody had even hardly heard his name. But when he came back from suffering in the desert, he was full of the Holy Ghost, and immediately people knew who he was. Going back to Mark, I'll have to hurry through this, I suppose. But picking up at verse 14, after we took our detour, now that after John was put in prison, John the Baptist, put in prison, and later on we know he was beheaded, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." He preached the same thing John did, the baptism of repentance. But in verse 16, "Now he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I will make you, I will change you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Verse 21-22, "And they came into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day Jesus entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." Going down to verse 32 and 33, "And at even," or evening, "when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door." They knew of his fame, they knew of his power, and they came and found wherever it was he was staying that night, and they lined up outside the door. And Jesus came out of that door, in verse 34, "and healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils." In verse 35, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." He got up, I don't know what time, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5, I don't know whatever time it was. Went out, found a place where nobody was, and began to seek God. There's another question for you. Why did God come in the flesh, the Son of God, have to pray? He's God, right? He can do anything, but he prayed. He sought God. He depended upon God. And we just read that he spent 40 days in the desert forsaking self. And not only that, he was full of the Holy Ghost. These are questions to think on. Why did God come in the flesh have to have all of these things? Why did Jesus have to pray? Those are theological questions, but let me ask you, don't you think you ought to follow his example? If you want to preach or teach, or again, like I said, you want to be involved in nursing home ministry or whatever, you ought to pray. You ought to repent of your sin. You ought to seek God. You ought to let him destroy your flesh. And you ought to let him fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you want any kind of ministry at all, If you follow his example, he can give it to you. He can give it to you. One of the things that we miss about the gospel, and we miss about the working of the Holy Spirit, is the work of brokenness in our lives. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you can clean the outside of the cup and platter, but the inside is filthy, disgusting, rotting, ravening wickedness, it says. Don't care about the clothes you wear. Don't care about, you know, it's funny. It's funny, and please, I'm not mocking, but the soup kitchens and the rescue missions and homeless shelters or whatever, everything that they do, that's fine. I'm glad for it, but they'll take a drunk and they'll put him in a suit. It's ridiculous. You can't clean up on the outside because the guy's still a drunk. The guy's still craving, I've got to have another drink. What we need is an inner work. What we need is brokenness. The destruction of the flesh, the forsaking of our ways. There needs to be an inner work of the Holy Spirit, an inner work of the Word of God as we study it, as we hear it preached, as we try to apply it to our life. We need an inner work. John chapter 3, verse 30. John the Baptist said this. He said, he, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. If you want God to move in your life, if you want God to help you in your ministry or whatever, Jesus must increase and you must decrease. Isaiah 53, great chapter, you ought to read it again. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You get into a jam, you get into trouble, first thing you do is complain. Maybe you get on Facebook and blog about it. Complain and what have you. But the man that's allowed God to work in his life, he's not going to complain. He'll shut his mouth and say, well, whatever the Lord does, he'll do. And Lord, I trust you regardless of whether I like the circumstances. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The apostle said the tongue is the hardest thing to tame. Complaining is the easiest thing to do. But Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted. And he opened not his mouth, and he was brought, as we know, as a lamb to the slaughter. Again, it's God's will that your flesh, your will, your ideas, your methods, your ways be destroyed. God can't use you if you don't allow him to break you. Again, I'm not telling you anything new. This is no new doctrine. It's been preached for thousands of years. Remember Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached all his life, I'm going to guess maybe 50 years, however long it was. He had no converts, but he was in the will of God. They threw him in a well, and he didn't complain. But it's said that he was the weeping prophet. He cried, not for himself. He cried for Israel. He cried for those that he was trying to preach to and minister to and prophesy to. He wept and prayed and cried for those he was warning via his prophecies. He was a broken man. What did David say? A broken and contrite heart, Lord, thou wilt not despise. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself. That's often the hardest thing to do. I want to do this. I want to do that. This is the way they taught me. This is my culture. That's the way I grew up. Grandpa taught me this and what have you. Or I went to cemetery and they taught me this and that. Don't care. You need to deny yourself and to take up your cross, the instrument of your death. Deny yourself and take up the instrument of your death and follow Jesus. Suffering is part of the gospel. And if you want any kind of ministry, this needs to describe you. This needs to describe you. And I'll ask one more question that you can ask. Who wants to live the crucified life?
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.